Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Now, lest you think I'm off my rocker here and have really gotten myself confused and disoriented about what day it is, I'll remind you that in the church, it's still Easter. Remember, for us, Easter isn't just a one-day celebration. The resurrection is so magnificent and so amazing that we need 50 days to celebrate. That's 7 Sundays, a whole week of Sundays, to come together in Eastertide to celebrate the resurrection. We live by a different calendar in the church because we have a different story to tell. We get to tell the story about God's love for us and for all of creation. And we get to tell the story that in and through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, sin and death have been defeated, and all things are being made new. So for us, yes, it still is Easter, and there are many indications of that in our worship service. We are continuing to say, Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. During Eastertide, instead of a confession each Sunday to begin our worship service, we begin with a thanksgiving for baptism. Because in baptism, we are joined to Christ in his death, and we are joined to him in his resurrection, into the gift of new life. In Eastertide, we say the Nicene Creed every Sunday. We still have our white paraments up, and we're still singing Easter hymns. Because Easter isn't over. We are still celebrating the resurrection and celebrating Christ's victory over death. And we're still trying to wrap our minds around and understand what the resurrection means for the way that we live our lives every single day. Catholic priest Richard Rohr says this: resurrection is the moment that defines the meaning of all other moments. The resurrection of Christ defines all the other moments. And so today, as we think more about Jesus' resurrection in this gospel passage that we also read on Maundy Thursday, we are transported back to the night in which Jesus was betrayed, to the night of the Last Supper, to the meal where Jesus took off his robe and assumed the role of a servant by washing his disciples' feet. Jesus was showing his disciples and us by example what he meant when he said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." Interestingly enough, in John's gospel, the meal isn't the focus of this story when we're reading about the Last Supper. The meal is the backdrop in which the foot washing happens. And that's where our attention really needs to rest. Because it's during the foot washing that Jesus reveals what love means. To offer just a little bit of context, in ancient Mediterranean cultures, foot washing was commonplace. Not everyone in Jesus' day wore sandals, and even if they did, the roads weren't paved, and the sidewalks weren't paved. So whether or not they wore sandals, their feet got really dusty and really, really dirty. So when someone would arrive at someone else's home, as an act of hospitality, the host would provide a basin of water for one to wash off the dust on their feet. If the host had a servant, they would also offer the servant to clean the feet. but if not, the individual would wash their own feet. Because never, ever, ever, ever was it appropriate for even the most hospitable host to wash their guests' feet. Never. But that's exactly what Jesus did. When they were already in the middle of a meal, not when they arrived at the house, but when they were in the middle of the meal, Jesus got up from the table. He took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash and dry the disciples' feet. He took on the garb and the position of a servant. Now for us, 2,000 years later, we aren't shocked by this. In fact, it's become a really meaningful ritual in our Holy Week practices. We had a lovely, lovely, meaningful foot washing ceremony here on Maundy Thursday. But for Jesus' disciples that night, this act of foot washing would have been absolutely unthinkable and very offensive. If we were to have read Peter's words, which many of you might remember, Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Peter didn't want Jesus to take on the role of a servant because Jesus had taken the way that things were supposed to be done and had destroyed it and abolished it and turned it absolutely upside down. Peter didn't want Jesus to take on the role of a servant because that's not how power and authority were supposed to work. And think about it, even more than that, Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. And he washed their feet anyway. Jesus wasn't just turning things upside down by washing their feet. He was making them absolutely unrecognizable. Jesus wasn't denied and betrayed by strangers. He was denied and betrayed by his own disciples, people who he had chosen to follow him, who'd followed him for 3 years, who knew Jesus, who heard his teachings, who saw his miracles. They were the ones who betrayed and denied him. And knowing it, he washed their feet anyway. He revealed the true depth of his love for them by loving them with a love that is incomprehensible to the human mind. He loved them with a love that has no expectations, with a love that doesn't have any limits. Because God is love and Jesus is God, Jesus has a radically different understanding of love than what we humans do. Jesus loves with a self-giving, self-emptying, and sacrificial kind of love. And it's this unthinkable, incomprehensible, and offensive kind of love that Jesus calls his followers and calls us to imitate. After washing their feet, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment. Now, the commandment to love wasn't new. There are commandments all the way back in Leviticus that talk about loving others. What was new is the understanding that Jesus was giving his disciples about love. To love others like he had loved them when he washed their feet. By taking any human convention and throwing it absolutely out the window. Now, too often, this command to love others as Jesus has loved us has been mistranslated and misinterpreted into a very bland personal platitude, something like, be kind to one another or serve others. And that's nice, but that's not what Jesus meant in this passage. The kind of love that Jesus is commanding his disciples to imitate is the opposite of warm and fuzzy. It's the opposite of sweet and sentimental. Jesus is calling us to imitate a kind of love that startles and surprises. Jesus is calling us to radically love those who would betray us and reject us, to love others in ways that aren't expected, to love others in ways that turn our expectations and the expectations of others absolutely upside down, to love others in ways that upset and offend people. If we think that the ways that we love others shouldn't upset or offend other people, we would be mistaken, because the ways that Jesus loved others upset and angered and offended people all the time. You see, the gospel isn't good news to everyone. Blessed are the poor. God's love for the poor and God's call for us to give to the poor isn't good news to those who don't want to give to the poor, to those who want to hang on tightly to what they have. And God's love isn't good news for everyone either, because there are plenty of Christians out there who want to decide who's in and who's out, who's worthy of God's love and who isn't. People who want to control and limit God's love to only certain kinds of people. To these kind of folks, the fact that God's love has no limits and no boundaries and no expectations, that's just not going to be good news to them. So if we think that the way that we love others, like Jesus has loved us, isn't going to upset or offend or anger people, we're mistaken, because it is. And before we forget that this isn't a suggestion or a recommendation, this is a commandment that Jesus gives us. Jesus commands us to live out the same kind of love and service that he has for us, for others. We are to give of ourselves as he gave of himself for us, without restriction, without limits, without boundaries, without any exceptions. May God give us the strength and the grace to offend and upset people by the way that we love others. And may God grant us the courage to continue to turn the world upside down by loving others as Jesus has loved us. Amen.